Amen. We'll go ahead and dismiss Children's Church. I kind of just wish we had done that for like another hour and called it, or 2 or 3 hours. He is so good. Yeah, that was just good. It's one of those you just want to like sit in it and just soak in it. And yeah. So this morning I have probably more of a, instead of like a deep revelation kind of like study, if you will, this is more of a, more of a charge, more of a, challenge and encouragement, whatever you want to call it. But last week, our small group finished up a study. We have a young adult married small group that we're in, and we finished up a study by Francis and Lisa Chan called You and Me Forever. 10 out of 10 recommend that book, whether you're doing it as a study or not. I've got 2 extra copies of it, so I don't know, like Alex and Mason could probably give you all a copy to read since y'all are brand new. And then all the much longer in their tenure of married couples definitely need to read it just as much, if not more, than they do. It's been fantastic. 10 out of 10 recommend it. And the whole book is on marriage. And I mean, that's the title of it and what it should look like from a God-centered lens. And we're not talking about marriage this morning or anything, but that's just kind of a segue into where we are. And the funny part of the book is we get in and we read a chapter, pretty long chapters, and then we go and we sit and talk about it. And so we all read the first chapter and we're expecting, hey, we're going to learn about marriage and we're going to learn about how to be better husbands and wives and all these things. And it does not say a thing in the world about marriage. It just talks about pointing to Jesus. And then chapter 2, we're like, okay, we're going to get something about marriage. Doesn't say anything about marriage. Chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, all of those are just all about living a God-centered life and how your marriage is going to be what it needs to be if you're doing that. And it's fantastic. And, you know, it's like what I've told the youth forever. It's like, you know, you get hung up on, and they got hung up in the Bible of like, what's the greatest commandment and all these different things. And Jesus said, love God, love people. And if you do those two things right, everything else is going to fall in line. It's kind of like what this book was like. If you just focus on God, focus on Jesus, put him at the center of everything, you don't have to try at marriage. You don't have to try at being a good father, a good mother. You don't have to try at these things. It's just going to be a byproduct of being in his presence. It was really cool. And so the last chapter of it, which is kind of where we're going to be leaning in, that kind of set the stage for this. The last chapter, it ended was all about keeping the faith and finishing the race well. And I haven't been able to shake this whole topic since we got done with it 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Time goes real fast when you have a 3 and a 5-year-old. Yeah, so you guys are on your way there. And I haven't been able to shake it. Just thinking about like current and recent circumstances that have been going on with Amber and my life. And it ties into something we've been talking to the youth a lot lately about fanning the flame and encouraging other people and others. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about keeping the faith and strengthening others. So 2 Timothy, what's going to kind of kick it off? We're going to be in 2 Timothy, 2 verses. If you don't have, I mean, it's literally 3 verses, so you can just look at the page if you don't want to turn there. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. And so Paul's writing this, and this is a time in Paul's life that's pretty rough. Does anyone know what he's doing right now as he writes this book? Trivia question. Marty, where is he right now? He's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. What is about to happen to him? He is awaiting an impending execution as he's writing this letter. Pretty bleak circumstances, right? And he says in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Okay, so this is Paul's coming to the end of his journey right here, right? He's coming to the end, and he says, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That is like such a big, powerful, incredible statement. Like, to be able to be in that moment and make that declaration to Timothy here, based on the scripture and these writings. You know, we talk about this being a race. There's several other things. All of us can really think about this Christian walk as this journey as like this really long race, right? We've all heard it talked about like that. Scripture says it, and it's this incredible journey that we're on, and we call it a race. And then all of us realize, hey, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? It's like not a really quick thing. It's for the long term, right? If you meet Jesus when you're 6 years old and you live to be 88, that's 82 years of a race. If you meet him at 86 and you die at 88, it's 2 years. But it's still a race. It's this incredible thing. And there's going to be moments in this marathon, in this race, where we're excited and we're full of strength. There's going to be moments when we are tired, discouraged, disappointed, and tempted to give up. How many of you guys know the goal of a race is not how well you start, it's how well you finish, right? All right, so anyone in here that has ran any type of organized race, whether it's a marathon, a half marathon, a 5K, probably not a sprint, but any type of actual, like, any bit of distance of race, you get all these people that line up on the front. A lot of times it's kids, young kids and all this, and they kind of block the way for everyone else. But they line up on the front. They're just so ready for it to kick off, and then the person says go, shoots, whatever the start is, and they just take off. And it's like this mob and sea of people that are just like going out of the gate super hot. And so if you're doing like, if you're doing a 5K in Bremen, you know that you've got a pretty rough 5K ahead of you. You've got a lot of hills, you got all these things, and you're like, man, I need to conserve some of that energy. But a lot of people, you'll see them just take off. And it doesn't matter what distance. I'm sure when you did the marathon that I backed out on Noah, that there was a lot of people that started pretty quick and had to taper off. I mean, even the half, I mean, my first 2 miles were like a minute and a half faster than the rest of the pace. And I'm like, oh, got to conserve that. And some of that's adrenaline, but a lot of people, they start really, really well. And by the time you start getting midway through to the end, you lose a lot of steam. And then you end up with a very slow pace at the end because you kind of just worried all about the start and getting out in front of people and doing all that. And then by the end of the race, you kind of lost that pace. Paul didn't say, I've started the race. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He understood. I mean, he was literally sitting in a prison cell as he's writing this, but he understood that storms would come, that people would disappoint him, that trials would test him. Yet he kept moving forward because his eyes were fixed on Jesus. And it's incredible. It's sometimes keeping the faith means trusting God when you don't understand what he's doing, right? There's people in this room right now that don't understand what's going on, don't understand what is the purpose behind what is happening right now to me or someone I love or someone like that. But it's keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus regardless of circumstances, right? Paul is looking, he's sitting in prison and he's going to be dying soon. And he's not focused on that. He's focused on encouraging Timothy and saying, hey, I have finished, I kept the faith. That is such a big statement. It's praying when you don't feel like praying. It's standing on God's word when circumstances tell you to quit. It means getting back up when you've fallen and knowing that God's grace is still sufficient. And so in a race, as we approach the finish line, which will be different times for all of us, but as we approach the finish line, we can't change anything about the race so far. If we're in a marathon and we're 24 miles in, we can't change anything about what's happened in the previous 24 miles. All we can think about is the last two. So if we're thinking about, you know, as we're approaching the end of our race, like, I don't really, I mean, this is not like a thing of regret. I don't want to get to the end of my life and be like, man, I wasted 60 years of pointing people to Jesus. But if I was at that place and I know I'm at the end, man, I want to keep my eyes on what that finish line is, and I want to finish strong, and I want to focus on saying, hey, I squandered these 60 years, but right now my eyes are locked on the King, and I'm going to finish this race strong. And you know what? I'm going to look for someone else that's beside me that's in that same spot that may feel like it's too late, and I'm going to pull them with me, and I'm going to encourage them and say, hey, let's cross this finish line strong. There is, if you go and you run any type of, okay, since I'm not cool enough to have done a marathon like a couple of people in here, half marathon. All right. You have a lot of the people at the beginning. They're watching you take off, all these things. And they're like, man, that person's fast. They're good. They don't know that halfway through you could have walked for 5 miles. And then you get to the end and you're in the last straightaway and everybody's going to give it their best effort on that straightaway and they're going to take off running. I mean, I think I broke out into a full sprint. So people are like, man, he's pretty fast. And everyone's cheering you on and all these things. No one cares about the middle part. No one sees, I mean, in this case, no one sees the middle part. And they don't care if you're at a 3-hour pace for a half marathon or a 4-hour pace, or if you're an hour and a half and you're one of the really fast people, they're cheering you on as you cross that finish line. And that's the cool thing about the heavenly host that's waiting on us to get there. How we finish the race, keeping the faith, whether that was right at the very end, it was all it, keeping the eye on the prize. It is to be celebrated and it's incredible. I personally, I feel like I'm pretty young in this and I feel like I've got a long time left. I want to have all of that time with my eyes on the prize the whole time so I can say, I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. I could die tomorrow. I really hope I don't for Embry's sake and the boys. If I do, y'all take care of her. But I could tomorrow and I want to have that same answer of, hey, I've finished the race and kept the faith. Find my notes. The race of endurance and keeping the faith won't let a difficult season convince you that your story's over. Paul was shipwrecked twice. He was in prison a lot of times. He was bitten by a deadly snake, stoned, and ultimately right here in prison about to die. But he kept the faith. If you're early on, if you're in the middle of your race, the enemy would love for us to become so focused on how far we still have to go that we forget how far God has already brought us. Look back and remember the doors that he opened, the battles that he brought you through, the prayers that he answered, and the times that he gave you strength when you had none left. You know, I look at I think about this a lot. I think about where I've come from. I do somewhat enjoy to run. And even though right now I'm not where I want to be or even where I have been, I think back to I'm way better than where I started. 2.5 years ago, when I was like, it was right after our, I can't remember if it was before or after the mission trip. And I was like, hey, I'm going to start running. I'm going to do this thing. And I don't enjoy it at all. I could not even run. If y'all know where I used to live, I could not even make it from my house to the end of the neighborhood without having to walk. That's 0.46 miles, to put that in perspective. Now, there's some hills, so I'll give myself a little credit. And I started in June, so it was June. But I'd run at nighttime, so that's not really an excuse. I couldn't make it to the end. Right, and then I look at where I was a year ago, and I was like, man, I was fast a year ago. I was in super good shape. I look at where I'm at right now, and I'm like, I'm dying to hold a 9-minute pace for 4 miles with my buddies. And used to, that was like so easy. And I think about that, and it's like, yeah, but 2 years ago, I couldn't even go half a mile without walking. And that was probably a 15-minute pace. Like, that was absolutely not where it is now. And I'm so it's easy to lose sight on where we were when Jesus brought us out and introduced us to himself, and just think about the seasons in your life that you may were be that you were on more on fire than you are right now. It's easy to think about that and get discouraged, but man, just think of how far he's brought you. Amen. And think about how much better we are off now than when we started. Every single run, and I'm not just trying to talk about running this morning, but this the whole theme of it is kind of a race. So we're going to every single run that I have done from the beginning till now And you guys can ask my buddies, you can ask Perry. I say this all the time, but like, we'll get done with an awful run where there was a lot of hills and it was terrible. And I'll say, hey, we're better than we were when we started because we did that. And every single time you finish, if you work out, whatever it is that you're doing, every time you pick up your Bible and read it, every time you pray, every time you're doing something that is growing your body, your spirit, your mind, any of that stuff, you're better for it by doing it. And it's strengthening you, and it's strengthening your endurance. That's how trials and tribulations should feel spiritually for us. Yes, we're going to go through them, and they're awful in the moment of it. They're terrible. But at the end of it, we are better than we were on the front. God gets glory on the outside of it, because during that trial and tribulation, he revealed his nature to you. He showed you love. He strengthened you. He let you lean not on your own understanding and your own strength, but on his. And he's got you completely. He's got it under control. No matter what that looks like. During the trials, God strengthens us. He refines us. He gives us revelation. You may not love the process, but man, there's glory on the other side of it. Not for you, for him. I have this shirt I bought recently. It's kind of funny. I don't really wear it because it was supposed to be an athletic material, but it does not breathe very well. And it's got like really big, like a screen print on the front. So it does not breathe. And it says, just don't quit. But the just, the do, and the it are like a different color. So it's like a Nike ripoff kind of thing. I don't know how they did that for like copyrights and stuff. Because it says, just do it. But it says, just don't quit. And I think about that a lot when I'm wearing it. I mean, it's funny and it's corny to get on a t-shirt. But it's also like, if you're someone who runs, Noah did 14 miles yesterday pretty fast. He just casually just decided to wake up and do a half marathon. And he probably, and he's doing the same loop. I asked him, it's like 9 of the same loop, which is just miserable. But at mile 12, you might have been like, hey, I don't want to keep doing this. And it's so easy to get focused on something and want to quit. And that's why I got the shirt. It's just like kind of a quick reminder to do that. But it applies so much to what Paul is saying about keeping the faith and finishing well. It's literally just don't quit. You may be tired, but don't quit. You may be hurting, but don't quit. You may not understand what God is doing, but he does. So don't quit. You may have stumbled, but get back up and keep running. And we're not just talking about like actually going outside and running. We're talking about this race with Jesus. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Two really quick ones. Once again, you can just read it since it's two verses, or you can turn there. But it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely or so easily besets us, whatever version you're reading, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Some of it says the author and finisher of our faith. This version says the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, which is despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That we get to all sit around one day and sing that last song just over and over and over, over and over and over. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And we have to realize in this verse, what this tells us is our strength is not in ourselves or our circumstances. It's in Jesus. And when the race is finally over, the greatest accomplishment won't be how much money we made. It's not going to be how many people knew our name or how successful we thought we would be. It'd be our greatest testimony is going to be, I have kept the faith. It will be, I live for Jesus and appointed as many people as I could to him. That's going to be the thing. A couple weeks back, my Uncle Ricky passed away at like 69 years old. And my whole life, he was a preacher of like, I think it was what, five different churches since, is what we were counting up at the thing. And it was just like the coolest funeral to be a part of. I mean, it was awful, it was sad and all these things, but it was such a celebration because his entire life, I mean, I don't know what he was like when he was a kid, so I can't say that. But his entire life of everything I know of him was all about pointing people to Jesus. he was so full of the joy of the Lord that no circumstance mattered. He would have been Paul sitting in prison right here, about to die. Well, I mean, okay, he was. He knew that he was probably going to die in this heart open heart surgery that he had. And so he's just very casually doing the matter-of-fact stuff he needed to do for the 2 weeks leading up to that of, hey, we need a burial plot. We need to think about this. We need to do these things. Knowing that God absolutely could deliver him through this open heart surgery, but knowing that he may not. And he was at such a peace with that. Which is just incredible. Because I know that he could say, I finished the race. I kept the faith. And so as we're listening to these preachers, all they're talking about is all the time that they're going out ministering to people, witnessing to people every single week. And I think about my papa doing that. And I'm like, man, I don't do enough of that. I don't point enough people to Jesus that don't know me. Sure, I might look like it. Like, I might look like a Christian. I'm not in the same environments as people that, like, no one can, like, look at me in some random setting and just not make an assumption that I, you know, love Jesus or whatever. But how many doors am I knocking on and thinking about, I am on this race, and some people are towards the end of their race, and they don't know yet. Like, I have this crazy answer that they need. That's the difference between eternity without him and eternity with him. And so thinking about the race, man, I have hopefully a lot of runway left to impact people. I want to be like how my Uncle Ricky is everyone's talking to my funeral about, man, I remember this from my papa's funeral. Like, how many people came up to us during that and was like, I know Jesus because of your granddad. I'm like, that is so cool. So keep going, keep praying, keep believing, keep serving, keep loving, keep trusting God. There is a crown waiting for those who remain faithful. Finish the race. Finish it. Keep the faith. Finish faithful. Finish strong. Something huge in this process is something that we've been talking about in youth lately. And I always feel bad for any of the youth because they're like, anytime that I've do a message here, I've done a piece of it at youth first because, like, I feel more prepared that way. And so lately we've kind of been talking about fanning the flames in your life and the flames of others. And it kind of ties in really good with this. And so seeing someone on their journey with Christ and breathing air into their flame. So with a fire, you need really two ingredients. And I was corrected when I talked about this with a firefighter because he was like, no, you need an ignition to start the flame. So technically you need three things. So in your walk with God, you need to meet him first. That's the ignition. But from there on, there's two ingredients to a fire. You need air and you need fuel. Those are the two things. You can't have too little of one or it's not going to work. You can have all the air in the world, but if there's no fuel, you can have all the fuel in the world, but if there's no air, it's just not going to start. And it's not going to keep going. And the more that you add of each one, the bigger the flame's going to be. And so we see people, whether it's in our church, whether it's in other churches, we see people so on fire for God in a moment. Like, all of a sudden, they're on fire for God. It's great. And we should see that. I've lost my note. We see that. We see people on fire for God, but we get so caught up in the fact of, well, they're part of the Catholic Church, or they're part of this, or they're part of that, that, you know, we want to suppress their flame, and we don't want to blow onto it, because we're like, well, there's something wrong with their process. There's something wrong with their thinking, and so we won't necessarily encourage that. At the end of the day, if someone is on fire for God, Holy Spirit's going to sort out the rest. I'm not saying that, like, if they're doing false doctrine or anything like that, that you pass that by. But man, if they're just missing some of the details that you're lucky enough to have already been revealed by Holy Spirit that they haven't yet, he's going to do that. So the best thing we can do is see that someone is on fire and hungry for God. Let's pour into that. Let's encourage them. Let's fan their flame. See the hunger for God and fan the flame. Holy Spirit, work out the rest. When I'm in, back to running for a minute, when I'm in a super strong season of running, so a year ago, right, I was probably in the best shape I've ever been in my life, was really excited about the half marathon and all these things, and like, I would surround myself with people who I could talk to about it, right? I was talking about, hey, what races do you have going on, all these things. I'd have people running with me. I would know that I'm in a really good place, so if I brought someone on a run with me, I would just encourage them and be taking it chill and casual however I want to, and so I was helping encourage them, then they might not have been where I was. I was helping encourage them and bring them along, but I was surrounding myself with more fuel to keep my passion more excited about it. And it was awesome. When I'm in seasons that are have not been that, earlier this year and stuff, and just a whole bunch of crazy moving parts in life, I've needed the encouragement from the other people just saying, hey, how's your running been? And I'm like, okay, is that a question because you can tell I've put on 15 pounds and you know I'm probably not running? Or is that a question of like, hey, you're just actually, either way, it doesn't matter. It was helping me be like, I got to get back in on this. And I got to like dive into what I know is what I need. And so it challenges me to press in. And that's the thing. We got to know that we're not running this race alone. You might be on any given moment, you might feel like, you know, I did a lot of runs by myself, and there's like no one with me to press me in that moment. It's just me and Holy Spirit, and wearing corny shirts like just don't quit. But in life and in this journey towards Jesus, in this race, you're not alone. You may look to yourself and not see someone, but there are people there to encourage you that are going through the exact same place that you're going through or have gone through that. A lot of times we go through trials and tribulations that we're like, why, God? And we don't see that 2 years in the future, that's going to be used for someone else that's going through it. And we can point to God's faithfulness and his strength. God connects you to people to strengthen and encourage them. In Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, once again, it's just two verses, so feel free to go there. All right, Jesus is talking to Peter. And rewind a little bit before this. Jesus had just told Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, you are the Son of God. And he said, well, God must have given you this revelation. You're my rock. I'm going to build like this huge praise to Peter. Right after that, he calls him Satan. But then we're a little bit further, and Jesus knows that Jesus is about to go. He knows he's about to be arrested, and the whole thing's going to start. And he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Cool thing about that is, what is Jesus doing at the right hand of the Father at every given moment? What does it say? He's praying for us that our faith may not fail, right? Like this faith thing is, it's everything. And he says, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus was about to return to heaven and knew that the disciples would need encouragement. He didn't give Peter some great revelation of, hey, this is how you're going to build the church and this is the things you're going to do and all this. Like he wasn't going through all these checklists of, Peter, I'm about to be gone. These are the steps you need to take. He simply said, I need you to go strengthen your brothers because they're going to need the encouragement in this moment. And when you've returned to yourself, I mean, like we would let shame keep us from returning to our brothers because I just denied Jesus three times. They probably don't want anything to do with me, right? And it says, when you go strengthen your brothers, go fan the flame, help them run the race, help them keep the faith. You guys ever go camping and you make a fire at night, you sit there and watch it for hours because that's just what you do, right? If you're a guy, I don't know if girls get the same excitement about just sitting there and watching a fire, but it's mesmerizing. I don't know what there is to it. It's just incredible. And so you go, you do this, you eventually go back to bed, and you don't put the fire out because, you know, you want to use it in the morning to cook on, hopefully, if you're doing camping right. And so you need the bed of coals to be there. What do you do in the morning when you want to start it back, Scott? Blow on it. You will have to add more fuel. That is going to have to happen. But to get the initial flame just to pop back up, you literally just have to blow on it. And the flame pops back up. Then you do have to add the fuel because both of those things have to exist. But you just breathe life into it and then you fuel it. So if that's you and you're in this part of your journey in your race where you've slowed down, and you've let your flame get dim, just invite the breath of life back into it. If you see someone else struggling in the faith or a circumstance, it may not even be the faith, it may just be a circumstance they're walking through, right, that we do life with, fan the flame. Even if spiritually they're there and they're good, circumstances can take someone that's spiritually really good sometimes and shake them and rattle them, rattle their thinking and all this. Just encourage and fan the flame. Strengthen your brothers. So if you see someone struggling or slowing down in their pace in this race, or their flame is much smaller than it has been in the past, breathe life into it and fan the flame. Get passionate about seeing people on fire and hungry for God. If their flame or race has flaws, fan it anyway. Don't jump to judgment where we suffocate it. Jump to praying for them that they will receive revelation from on high. Because man, I jump so fast to not praying for somebody because I can think about the flaws they have. When, man, I have a ton of flaws. And how many flaws did I have as I was trying to figure out these things? How many things did Holy Spirit have to break in me that someone else would have pointed to back then and be like, ooh, I'm not going to pray for him because I know what he was like yesterday, right? Get excited about seeing people on fire for God. I want all of us to run the race well and to know that we're not alone in this race, to know that, yeah, it's endurance. It's this thing actually in the book, Francis Chan was talking about, this was a pretty cool thing. He's like, you know, the race has a finish line and a timeline when it's done. Like you're going to hit the end of the race at the same time, regardless. He's like, and so you see a lot of people that they'll just slack off as they're approaching the end of the race and be like, hey, I've done my time. I've done this. And then they'll kind of just, or they'll fall into sin, or they'll let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy and do all these different things. But he said, you know, as you start off the race, everything's moving really slow because the finish line's way, way, way out there. But as you get to the end of the race, that finish line's approaching whether you want it to or not. And it's just going faster and faster and faster because you can see it. And it's going in. I want us all to be able to round that corner, see that finish line, and be like, hey, I'm going to make the hardest push of every single energy I even have left. Even though the last 25 miles and a half, I have given all I had. There's even more you can give. There's more you can press in and chase after him. I want us to finish well. I want to be able to say what Paul said and help get as many people to the same place that we do, to be able to say when we come to the end, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What does it say that God's going to say to you when you go to heaven and he welcomes you into the kingdom? Well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to be faithful to him in everything I do. I want to look back at the end of my life and say, man, I kept the faith. Maybe I wavered in a couple places, but I finished well. And I want to do well all throughout it. And so the whole culmination of all of this is keep the faith and strengthen each other to keep theirs. Don't let someone fall behind, right? It's not I'm a strong believer in the reason that we don't get raptured up the moment that we say yes and get saved is because we have work to do here, and that work is telling other people about him. I don't want to have gotten saved at 7 years old, have a real encounter with, you know, several more real encounters with God because at seven, I still listened to the enemy several times after that. But I don't want to get to the end and be like, okay, if the whole purpose of me still being here was to strengthen the brothers and to get as many people acquainted with the Savior as I have, how many did I do? And then think on my hand and be like, well, how many did I personally point to Jesus? I don't want that to be a small number. And I definitely don't want to look at all of you guys and all the people that I do life with that I know have a relationship with Jesus, but not encourage you to be better, right? Noah, vicariously, I'm living through you of like how fast you are and how much you're like excelling so much more than I was a year ago. And I'm like, I want to see Noah. We're doing half marathon in several weeks now. I want to see him do like an hour and 20 minutes so I can celebrate. That'd be really fast. It'd be like really fast. But I want to celebrate that with him and push him and encourage him to do it, even though I'm not to the point of doing an hour and 20 minute half marathon. I'm gonna be happy to break 2 hours right now, if I'm being completely honest with you, but that's okay. And so that's the thing. I want us to point people to him, fan the flames of the other people. Don't let theirs die out. If yours is dying out, you either need to add air or you need to add fuel. And the cool thing about that is, as you continue to add fuel, your fire is going to get bigger. He's going to expand your capacity to add more fuel, right? It's just this really cool thing. You know, we think about maybe it's a parable, but they're talking about like when you clean the demons out of your house, right? Clean it, fill it with things, like renew your mind, all that kind of stuff, right? Well, so you think about your house right now. As you add more fuel to your flame with God, he's just going to expand your house. He's going to keep adding rooms to your house because he's going to continue to give you more and more revelation of him. And to keep all of that room filled, guess what? We have to keep fueling. And it's kind of this really cool thing that I hope one day, like there's no end to it. We're never going to understand everything there is to understand about God. Maybe in heaven, he'll reveal all of it to us and it will just be incredible and maybe we can handle it then. But I want to expand my capacity to point people to him. I don't want to have expanded my capacity and then slack off. And then all of a sudden I have all that extra capacity to fill with things that are not him. So, okay. Keep the faith. Finish the race. Maybe right now it's in a spot of your life where it's going to feel like a sprint. That's okay. Don't stop. And strengthen each other. And so what we're going to do, we're going to kind of transition to the second half of that, to strengthening one another. Tammy, will you come up here? And James. Because there's another, we'll bring up another one. But part of what this looks like is the fact that, hey, none of us are running this race alone. Sometimes you're Timothy, and Paul is going through hell. And Paul needs encouragement maybe at times, right? And so the whole thing about this is whether someone is spiritually rock solid, whether someone is wavering, whether someone just has a very unfortunate, problematic thing going on right now, we know the author and perfecter of all of it. And I'm not walking through what you guys are walking through right now, but he is, and I'm connected to you guys. So I'm kind of walking through it, not in the same way. And I can have an easier peace about this than they probably do in their moment because it's not me that's walking through it. So my job is to encourage them and fan them. So what we're going to do, actually, everyone just stand up because we're all going to come pray. But that's it, guys. If it's a physical ailment, if it is a stagnation in their walk with Christ, whatever it is, guys, we are here to strengthen the brothers. That's why Jesus gave that simple thing to Peter, strengthen the brothers, because they're going to need it. We're all going to need it at some point. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. James has another one we're going to add and lump in on this too.
I'm actually going to take the liberty since I have the microphone. We're going to add a little bit to that. Awesome word this morning, brother. Thank you. Timely word. In Hebrews, where we were just at, chapter 12, Tammy, it says, the race marked out for us. It's the race marked out for us. And I don't understand the race. I'm not going to pretend like I understand the race. But it's a race that he's marked out for us. Now, did God bring this on you? I'm not saying that. But there's a race that he's marked out for us. And your race looks different than my race. My race looks different than Tyler's race. We're all racing toward him. It's almost like a lottery for your marathon. Which one are you going to get? Are you going to get the one that starts with hills? You're going to get the one that starts with downhill? I don't know. It doesn't matter, but there's this race. Jeffrey, come up here. I need you by your wife. This is. She's not the only one walking through this. And it's interesting to me that, again, the scripture that Tyler brought, that Jesus is talking to Peter and he says to Peter, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And I'm like, God, why are we praying for him? Why don't we not let Satan sift Peter like wheat? You can stop this. But he doesn't say that. He says, I have prayed for you that your faith will not be broken. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He can't. There's things that God cannot do, and he cannot go back on his promises, and he's promised to love you and walk with you through everything. That's what that word says, and that's why I believe it. I believe every word of it. Amen. He never says that your race will be easy. He never says that it will be this downhill thing. The man that we've been talking about all morning, he had some physical issue. I don't think he could run. I think that's why he was fascinated with people who could run. I think he was just this beautiful example to him, like, that's something I can't do. But I am, and in spite of that, I'm going to use that as an example. He says he has a thorn in the flesh. Do we have any idea what it was? I don't know. But God said, I have a purpose to use this thing. Okay? I can use anything. All things for the good of those who love him. And you love him. You guys are cornerstone people in this church. Been here longer than I thought about being here. Y'all been faithful in this church. Tammy, you've worshiped up there for years and years and years, and you are still worshiping back there. And it's no different. It's no different. I don't know what your race is. I know where you're at right now. I know where you're at right this minute, right today. I know what that's marked out, and I know that Jesus says, I have prayed for you. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask people in this church, this is a little odd. I don't know. I've been thinking about this morning. And if you don't feel comfortable doing this, it's okay. But I'm going to ask you, if you're in this room and you have ever had cancer in your body, I want you to come up here. If you've ever had cancer in your body, please be bold. And if you're not, that's cool. But if you've had cancer in your body, anywhere in your body, I want you to come up here. I thought these three. Y'all come on in. They've run a marathon really, really similar. It's all from the devil.
Yeah.
Every bit of it is not what God wants in our body. Okay? Every bit of it. I don't care where it's at. All right, now, this is everybody else. If you've had somebody and you've known somebody that's dealt with cancer, everybody come on up here. Y'all come in behind here, right here. Ladies who've had cancer, this is just how I operate. No offense, God, because I'm not either. I want y'all to grab some oil, and I want you to anoint your sister with oil. This is in the Bible. This is in the Word. I want y'all to anoint her and get, y'all go get in tight, and Scott come in right behind. Where's Brett? I want you to pray. Now, I've known you were going to pray about this since I read that email Thursday. I don't know why. And we prayed at work immediately. We saw that email. We were at work.
Amen.
We're not going to stop. And I cannot explain healing, but I know my God's a healer.
Hallelujah.
I can't tell you the formula, but I know the one. There's this shirt walking around like, I can't, but I know a guy. You know, y'all have seen that? I can't, but I know a guy. I don't just know him. He's my king. He's my savior. I'm more than know him. He's not just on a shirt. I serve him, and you have served him, Tammy. And Jeffrey, you have served him. And this is not going to stop that. This is not going to stop that. This is going to be testimony. This is what testimonies are built out of. This is what they're built out of. All right, brothers.
Father, we come to you today, and we come through the door of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Because your word is clear. And Father, we just thank you for your spirit that that leads and guides and reveals. And just, Lord, thank you for this word today. Thank you for just draw us back. Remind us, Holy Spirit, that when we can't understand, when we don't understand, when our emotions kind of hijack us for a season, Holy Spirit, help us be quick to turn back to the Word of God. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? And so today, Lord, we come before you through the door of Jesus. And the Word of God says that because of Jesus, because we don't serve a high priest who hasn't been tempted or tested or gone through trials. We serve a high priest that's gone through it all without sin. And through that victory, through Christ Jesus, we can come before the throne of grace today. Not because of how we've approached today, but because of what Jesus did. So according to the Word of God, we by faith, we come boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly, confidently, not in ourselves, but in you, in your goodness, in your character, in your word. So we come with confidence before the throne of Almighty God that we might receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So, Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that as we come together and we touch this thing by faith on earth, Jesus said, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Not emotionally, but by the Word of God. So today we stand on the Word, like with childlike faith. And we're going to believe our Father. And we're going to thank you, Father, by faith, for your hand, for your spirit, for your working. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we don't just start the race and hand the baton to you, the finisher, but you run every step of it with us as well. So we thank you for your presence through this. We give you every ounce of the glory. Every ounce through this journey. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that, brother. Thank y'all. If y'all don't mind, in this vein, we work with a guy named Matt Edwards, and he's gotten a bad deal with some cancer in his mouth. It's just all around us. And this is the time. This is the time that we show folks where to go.
Amen.
So thank y'all. Tyler, you got anything to add? Where to go? Is it over? Thank you, brother.
Amen.
All right. Amen.